Welcome to a testimony against several profane and superstitious customs by Increase Mather. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Still Waters Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, are on the web at www.puritandownloads.com. Also, please consider, pray, and act upon the important truths found in the following quotation by Charles Spurgeon. As the Apostle says to Timothy, so also he says to everyone, give yourself to reading. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read. Renounce as much as you will all light literature, but study as much as possible sound theological works, especially the Puritanic writers and expositions of the Bible. The best way for you to spend your leisure is to be either reading or praying. And now to SWRB's reading of A Testimony Against Several Profane and Superstitious Customs by Increase Mather, which we hope you will find to be a great blessing, and which we pray draws you nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Chapter 2. Against dicing, cards, and such like games, that it is safest wholly to abstain from them. The lottery in them makes their lawfulness to be doubtful. Eminently learned divines have judged them to be in their own nature sinful. They are of evil report. There is a secret curse attending them. They are offensive. It is unquestionably lawful to abstain from them. As such games are commonly used, they are certainly and heinously evil in the sight of God. The evil of playing for money and of misspending much precious time in such vanities. As for games of hazard and chance, such as dicing and cards and sundry games at tables, there are great divines, as anon we shall show, who judge them to be in their own nature unlawful. Others suppose that if the rules, which should be remembered in all recreations, respecting the time and measure and manner and the end of them, were duly observed, they might without sin be used. Two things we may assert. Practiced, there is much sin and provocation to God in them. Both these I shall endeavor to clear. My first assertion is that it is best and safest to decline all such games, and that for these reasons. First, there is real weight in that argument commonly made use of by divines from the lottery which is in the impleted games to prove that they are breaches of the third commandment and so in themselves unlawful. It is granted that there is art and skill mixed in some of these games. Nevertheless, there is a lottery in them. Now, a lot is a serious thing not to be trifled with. The Scripture saith not only, as some would have it, of extraordinary lots, but of a lot in general, that the whole disposing or judgment thereof is of the Lord. Proverbs 16:33. So that when the lot is cast, God sits in judgment. The lot, as Mr. Cartwright speaks, is as God's duty, who is judge of the world, and unto whose providence appeal is made to decide the question. Mr. Perkins, who is a man of a very clear and accurate judgment, well observes that in the use of a lot there are four things. The first is a casual act done by a man, as the casting of the dice. The second is the applying of this act to the determination of some particular controversy, the ending whereof maintains peace, order, and so forth. The third is confession that God is a sovereign judge to end and determine things which can no other way be determined. The fourth is supplication, that God would, by the disposition of the law, order the event. Now, from these considerations, grave and great divines have esteemed all lustry lots to be unlawful. We may not, either by words or actions, invocate the name and make appeals to the providences of God on every trifling occasion. As an oath or prayer, so a lot is profaned when not solemnly used. A worthy person speaks well to this purpose when he saith, "What an abomination would it be to any Christian to see a pulpit, a communion table, a font exposed on a stage, or the gestures of worship aped by players. And it is not much better when men play with appeals to God, or make themselves sport with lotteries. Whereas some have affirmed a lot fittest for trivial matters, their assertion is very unsound. We do not find in the Scripture that ever a lot was made use of, except in matters of great weight, either in themselves or in respect of their consequences. Sometimes when the matter has not been great in itself, yet to prevent endless contentions and controversies, a lot has been used amongst the Lord's people of old." Leviticus 27:32, Proverbs 18:18. But not in matters of disport. The very Gentiles themselves thought there was something divine in a lot, as is manifest from Jonah 1:7. They concluded that some newman or deity must needs direct their chants, which, being ignorant of the true God, they did superstitiously ascribe to fortune. And do not gamesters at this day used to say they'll try their fortune, and that they had bad luck, that fortune was against them, and the like paganish expressions, which nevertheless they acknowledge a director of the chance? This must be either God, which, if they confess, the cause is yielded, or a good angel by his direction, or an evil angel, unto whom they will not own that they make any appeals, or owe any subjection. He that makes use of a lot wholly commits his affairs to a superior cause than either nature or art, and therefore unto God. But this ought not to be done in a sportful, lustry way. Second, practices which eminently learnedly divines and holy master ministers of God, who are most likely to know the truth, have looked upon as sinful, it is best and safest to abstain from them. But this is true of the games in question. I know that Popish casuists, who in matters of morality as well as in matters of faith are many times corrupt, do justify the impleaded games as lawful. So Tollet, A Lapide, Del Rio, and others. Yet papists will not allow such games in ecclesiastical persons. One of them, Ignatius Lopez, maintains it to be a mortal sin for a clergyman to play at cards and dice. Several councils have made it a crime worthy of excommunication for clergymen either to practice or to be present at such games. Not only the canonical, but the civil law of old has stigmatized them. Amongst the ancients, they are reproved with great severity, particularly by Clemens, Alexandrinus, Chrysostom, Cyprian, Ambrose, and Austin. As for our great reformers, they have generally condemned the games as in themselves unlawful. So Martyr, Gualter, Rivet, Tassin, Danius, who has written a learned discourse on this subject. The Dutch and French ministers of the Reformation do generally disapprove of these games, and so do our English divines. In special, Mr. Cartwright, Mr. Perkins, Dr. Ames, Mr. Fenner, Mr. Eastie, Mr. Dodd, yea, and two bishops also have testified against them, namely Bishop Babington and Bishop Downham. As for Dr. Hammond, who was a man very corrupt in many of his notions and in some points of doctrine, which are a great concernment, I do not judge his pleading for the lawfulness of such recreations worthy of the taking notice of, nor can I call to mind more than two Protestants of note who have published anything considerable in defense of these games. Baldunius, a Lutheran casuist, excuseth them. Also, our learned Gadaker has taken more pains to prove the indifference of them than any I have seen, but he writ that discourse in his younger years, and has been well answered by Mr. Bomford, and learnedly refuted by Voetius. Yea, and Mr. Gadaker himself, after he had said all he could say, wisheth that men would in godly discretion abandon such games, because they are so much abused, and many are unsatisfied in the lawfulness of them. Third, it is best and safest to abstain from all things which are of evil report. The apostolical rule is, whatsoever things are of good report, practices that which cause a man to have a good name among sober people. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Which showeth that things infamous or of ill report should be carefully avoided. But so are the impleted games. The satirist calls the dice by the name of the alia turpis, and the orator calls Catiline and Antony with this infamy that they were men that used to play at dice. And the generality of good men abstain from them as evil and infamous things. Are not such games branded as infamous when in every indenture for apprentice these words are usual? At cards, dice, or in any other unlawful and prohibited games he shall not play. Fourth, it has been observed by many that there is a secret curse attending these games. Hence it is that when persons have once a little used themselves there hereunto, they can know no bounds therein. They are so bewitched with the gaming humor that as they will lose their friends, esteem, estate, and everything else that's desirable, rather than play no more at cards. Infinite evils and miseries have sprung up from this bitter root, so that the tree has been justly suspected as not good, upon which such bad fruit has grown. It is then best and safest not to meddle therewith. Fifth, these games are offensive, and that both to good and bad. The scripture saith, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. 1 Corinthians 10:32. But these impleted games give offense to all. Good men are grieved at such practices as in their conscience are unlawful, and many carnal ones are hardened in their profuseness and profaneness when they hear of any that seem to be religious in other things to do these matters as they do, though perhaps not altogether in the like degree. Sixth, if there were nothing else to be said, but that the lawfulness of such games is doubtful, that's enough to make wise men to abstain from them. Suppose it could not be clearly proved that they are absolutely and in their own nature sinful, yet if the matter be in any way disputable, 'tis best and safest to keep clear of them. I am sure there is no sin in not playing at cards and dice. And then, as long as there are other recreations enough, concerning which there is no doubt of their lawfulness, it is best to desist wholly from them at their that are doubtful, and make others of use of others. These things make good what I first proposed. My second assertion is that the impleted games, as commonly practiced, are unquestionably sinful and provoking to God. First, it is common for such gamesters to play away their estates, or to get other men's estates in this way, both which are exceedingly sinful. When God has possessed a man of an estate which he has a just title unto, now for him to make it a question whether this estate shall be his or another man's, and then to decide the controversy by the shuffling of cards or the cast of a die, is unworthily to abuse the good providence of God, and so to transgress the third commandment. This is also to break the eighth commandment in a very high degree. To get another man's goods at an underprice is injustice and theft, and clearly against the rule of righteousness. How much more to take from another his money and give him nothing at all in lieu thereof? It is a crying sin. Who dare pray to God to bless his endeavors to get an estate in this way? Most certainly the holy God, who hates robbery for burnt offering, would not hold the man guiltless that should take his name in vain, when, as all lawful ways of adding to our estates, may and should be prayed over. That worthy and truly religious gentleman, Mr. John Bruin, was wont to say that such gamesters and thieves were of the same corporation, and the more cunning men are in that art, the more wicked. And a late writer observes that money gotten by gaming is like the goods of them that die of the plague, which commonly bring a pest with them. He that shall add but a little to his estate by getting money from another in any such unrighteous way will perhaps find that little to be like a moth that shall consume and bring a secret blast of God upon all that he enjoys. And he that gets riches and not by right, the man that gets a sum of money by playing at cards, has gotten riches and not by right. He shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Jeremiah 17:11. I would seriously advise all such persons, so far as they are capable, to return back their ill-gotten goods again, as ever they desire pardoning mercy at the hands of God, against whom they have grievously sinned. That saying of Austin's is well known and generally approved of: non tollitur peccatum, nisi restitutar oblatum. He that has, in a way of unrighteousness, taken from another any part of his estate, has no reason to expect the remission of his sin until such time as he shall make restitution to the party wronged by him, so far as he is able to do it. A world of precious time, more precious than all men's estates, is commonly spent in these vain and vexatious sports. For a Christian to use recreations is very lawful, and in some cases a great duty. But to waste so much time in any recreation, though never so innocent and laudable, as gamesters usually do at cards and dice and tables, is heinously sinful. Every man's eternity in another world will be according to his improvement of time here. What a sad account will they be able to give to the Son of God at the last day, who have spent a very great part of that time wherein they should have been preparing for eternity in nothing but idleness and plays. What can there be more contrary to that divine precept of redeeming the time because the days are evil?
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.